I speak in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us be seated. I bring great joy and good greetings from the St. James' Church. We have not even started our service, so it's possible that after enjoying service here, I'm eating all the lovely cakes from everyone here. I'll be able to have another second portion of cake over there today. You can't have too many cakes on the Sunday for grace. Can you?
No, you cannot.
No, you cannot. No. So I hope you guys will treat me well today, because I love my cakes. And if you don't, I'll learn for them at St. James's. I'll not be very well. So my name, as I was earlier, is Suki, but that's what people call me. I have a second name, a longer surname, that most people cannot pronounce very well. That's Osusami. And I remember the first time I came working in the NHS, and I introduced myself. And if you have a seat, I thought people calling me Dr. Tsunami. And I thought, no, let's just call me Suki. So I have been Suki ever since, and I love it for Suki. It's a great deal of joy to be here today. Have you ever been a part of a club that we call, or that people describe as an exclusive club? Has anyone ever been a part of such a club? Yeah, you are such an exclusive member of the club. You know, nobody else can join that club. There are just a group of special people that belong to that club. Anyone here? So in my sermon, I'm like, ah, the heck is that? What is that? There are some very exclusive clubs. In preparing for the salon, I was looking for the very, very expensive exclusive clubs all around the country. There was a club I saw, the Annabelle's. The Annabelle's, so if you be a member of that club, you need to spend around $3,500 for registration. And the annual fee for being a member is about $11,000. That is not meant for priests. People like me have Annabelle's. But they have a lot of text that they enjoy in that club. A lot of fantastic offer that when you go in there, you can enjoy the benefit of being a member. I was looking also at the Oxford University, where they have some very, very exclusive clubs. Some of the clubs that have produced our great prime ministers, like David Cameron, Boris Johnson, you know. Why are you laughing? They are great, great prime ministers. I'm not here for politics. You know, and those wonderful clubs, they have their own behavior, they have their own way of doing things. We saw in the book of Acts of the Apostles a story about exclusivity. And whether we like it or not, our society is about grouping people into groups. You either black or white, you either educated or not educated, you are either rich or poor. And we try to group people into different types of groupings in our society. And sometimes we assume what should be the characteristics of those groups. We tell them what they should be and how they should be. And sometimes, out of our own goodwill, we try to even want to see whether we can mimic some of those groups. In the hands of the apostle, Peter had to give explanation to all the members of this group at that time to explain why he crossed the boundary of a Jew going to sit down and eat with people that were not Jews. He had to explain to everyone why he had to move on and go and minister to those people. He explained that there was a day that he was sleeping and he had a very strange dream. In that dream, he had a special dinner presented to him. I hope you all follow when that dinner was being done. The dinner came down from the sky, and all sorts of interesting things that showed on the dinner table was on that dinner table. There were reptiles, animals that you should never touch, animals that you should never have anything to do with, what they describe as unclean animals. And a voice came to Peter, kill these animals and prepare your dinner. And that's a very strange one. And Peter said, no, nothing unclean has ever touched my hands or my mouth. I will not touch this. And it happened three times the boy shall say, take him and eat. And he said, no, I will not do so. And that dinner disappeared. And the boy shall not spoke to him and said, whatever God has made clean, no one can make it unclean. And a few minutes after, some people came to the door and knocked and said, Peter, everything for you. We need you to come and help us in a town that was not a Jewish town. And he left and he went to the house of one of the people that were not Jewish. And as he was talking to them, the Holy Spirit came down on those people. And they all were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Just as it happened to them also. Like it happened to Peter and the rest of the disciples. And Peter felt, wow, if God can allow the Holy Spirit come on these people who are not Jews, therefore, God does not discriminate on the basis of some of the boundaries and the groups that we set out as humans. And that was the beginning of the expansion of the church to those that are not Jews. But we also read in the book of Revelation the same story of something coming down from heaven, something fresh coming down from heaven. It is called the New Jerusalem, a new place where there will be no more pain, where there will be no more sorrow, where all these wars that we are seeing in our world is going to stop, where all this hatred, where all this demarcation and groupings that we have is not going to be anymore, because we are not going to be a new set of people, but it's going to come down from heaven. Beloved, I feel sad when I see us being divided by the things that should never divide us. I feel sad when I see us emphasizing our differences rather than our common unity. And I feel God will also feel very sad when we are distracted by our differences. And that is why we enjoy reading from John this morning. That tells us about the power of love. God is not saying that we should not have our groups. God did not say, oh, we cannot, I'm not going to change from being who I am to becoming who you are. We are helping to see the way in our groups. But God is also telling us that our groups should never be what defines us. In fact, he told his disciples in the book of John that by this that all men know when we love one another. People think love is very easy, love is expensive. Love is very expensive, love is not cheap, love is not easy. And that is the same calling that God has given us to love one another. Love one another will mean that sometimes you will be upset by somebody and yet you still want to love them. Loving one another will mean somebody will have said something that will really make you feel like blowing up. And you say, no, this is not the time to go. I'm going to call them specially to the corner and I'm going to talk to them. Well, some of us are in families or marriages or relationships. I can tell you very clearly that it's not easy to love one another, also in marriages. You know, sometimes my wife and I, you know, we wake up and we wake up in the same house. Love can be very strenuous and very stressful sometimes, even in marriages. But we also have to decide that we want to work at it. And by working at it, we remain together, we support each other, we strengthen each other. Love is expensive. Love is stressful. But Jesus Christ said to his disciples that there is only one way. We are not going to be known by the many preaching that we've done. We are not going to be known by all the great miracles, all the fantastic singing, all the big churches and fantastic buildings. That is not what we made the world to know us. We will be known by loving one another. By being people that are ready to forgive each other even before we are offended. By being people that are ready to say we love you no matter who you are, and we are ready to sacrifice ourselves. Because what Christ did because of love was that he sacrificed himself for the church. And I'm praying and I'm hoping that we get to that point where we love each other so much that we're able to say, your pain is my pain, your suffering is my suffering. Where we become vulnerable to each other, where we can tell each other things that really upset and pains us. And we're not afraid that somebody is going to use that against us. I'm praying to see a church where people can be so free with one another and trust each other so much because they love each other. We are the people that are loved. And because we are loved, we need to love one another. Last week Sunday, I told people at St. James that we're not just to be loved, we are special. And I think the same thing to you today. You are special. Very, very special people. God will do anything possible to make sure that you are happy. To do everything possible to make sure that you experience that love. And that makes us very, very special. But all of these things also put a demand on us. If you are loved, if you are special, you need to also show that same love to the world out there. There is a world that is in pain. They've never seen what it means to be loved. There's a world that is sad, distressed, upset. They've never seen what it means to be loved. And we need to go and show them. And the only way we can show them how love is when we know how to love each other. I believe the reason why church is failing today is because we've not learned how to love one another so much that the world can see that love. And I pray to God that as we hear this word this morning, our hearts will be gingered up, will stand up in our hearts to say, yes, we want to love as Christ loved us. Amen.